When's the last time you successfully purchased an item through Craigslist or the classifieds? If you can think about it and it went well, well, then you are one of the lucky ones. In a recent EPP bonus episode, Classified Paranormal, things didn't go all so smoothly. It is a hauntingly disturbing story you don't want to miss.
I'd become an EPP for this story alone.
When you become an EPP, you're keeping our show on the air. And in exchange for your $5 a month donation to the show, you're getting access to more than 50 bonus episodes of the show, exclusive video content, archived shows, and more. The best thing is it keeps Real Ghost Stories Online alive and kicking. So please consider supporting the show, enjoy all of the bonus content, and help keep Real Ghost Stories Online alive.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your Real Ghost Story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again for another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. The phone number 855-853-4802 to call in your real ghost story to us. Of course, you can also write it on the website realghoststoriesonline.com. Today's episode is open lines and your calls and your stories as told by you guys in your own voices, except for the ones that I pitch up and pitch down to make sound very spooky.
We don't do that.
I've never done that.
No.
I could do that. That would be kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
It would be horribly annoying and no one would make it through the episode, but it can be done. And that's about it. There's a lot of things that can be done. So today, they're outside playing right now because we wanted to see, just give them a little play time. We have a new member of the Real Ghost Stories Online family who will be in here normally.
Yeah.
We have a new animal friend.
Yes.
Named Bear. And you can see its picture. It's up at on our Facebook page. I posted it the other day. And he looks like a bear. He's a Pomeranian.
Yeah.
Or as one of our daughters calls it,
a Pomeranium.
A Pomeranium.
Or a Pomeranian.
I like Pomeranium. It sounds like some sort of like horrible breed that was a result of
nuclear testing.
That or Chernobyl or something.
Oh, gosh.
Well, over at the Chernobyl pet store, we have Pomeraniums now. It's a cross between a frog and a dog. and part fish, we believe, as well. It's a cute little puppy. And I'm sure you'll be hearing him jingle in here very soon.
Yes.
But however, when you hear the jingle, well, you know which dog it is. Ooh.
You know, it's okay if I hear both jingles.
Because on the EPP episode the other day, we should share this because that was said on the EPP episode.
Yes, we should.
So everyone else who's not an EPP can be in the loop on this. Go ahead and share your story.
Well, we found when we go down and check on our two-year-old after we've put her to bed, just to turn her light off because she likes to turn her light on and sleep with it on. So we go down and we make sure she's asleep in her bed, not in her doll's bed or something, and turn her light off. And we've gotten to where when we go downstairs, we'll hear this clink. And I've heard it two or three times, and I know what that clink is. And you heard it the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is, it sounds exactly like the leash loop on Lena's collar hitting the collar buckle. And she used to do that, like when she was taking her hind leg and scratching her neck or something, you could hear that clink, clink, clink.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what it sounds like. But I only hear it downstairs, which was primarily where she lived. And it's only been at night, and it's been a couple of times. So I'm really wondering if she's here in spirit.
It's interesting because it does sound very much like that. And I was just kind of writing it off to things that didn't exist, like the furnace turning on. Furnace doesn't turn on in the middle of summer.
No.
In the middle of Kansas. But I mean, I wasn't thinking that much about it.
Yeah.
I was just like, well, that's a clink. I don't know what it was, but I heard a clink. And I had been hearing it as well. So, yeah, I mean, it does. And when you pointed that, I'm like, yeah, that really does sound like that. And there's no wind. There's no breeze down there. I mean, it's just, it's pretty self-contained and there's no windows that can even open down there.
No.
And, there's no fans. There's nothing to like be causing that.
No.
And the vents are fairly poorly placed to begin with. So like where they are actually hitting things, there's nothing to be hit.
Sure.
So It's interesting.
So when we do figure out what that noise is, we will share. Mm-hmm. Until then, we're going to live with the thought of possibly having Lena here in spirit with us.
It's a neat thought.
It is a neat thought.
And I hope that maybe that is indeed the case, and we may never actually have the answer to that question.
So. Yeah.
It's interesting stuff. So anyway, well, I just wanted to fill you in on that. And how are we getting to that topic? It was something to do with something
else.
Well,
you brought up Bear.
Oh, yeah.
And that Bear and...
Oh, yeah, which collar is what?
And Bubbles are out there playing right now and trying to be friends.
So, there we go. All right. There you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a caller, and I believe this is a caller that is coming into us from... my home state of Wisconsin, to tell a story about a place that I know very well. Spent New Year's of 1999 there.
That's fun.
Pretty much had the entire hotel rented out with the radio station I was working at. Mm-hmm. And also spent many hours wandering the halls of this place. He refers to it as a Ramada, which it once was, but originally it was called the Retlaw Theater. And... it's not theater, hotel. Mm-hmm. There's a theater down the road called the Retlaw as well. And it's Walter spelled backwards, who's the builder of it. And we'll talk more about that in a little bit. First, let's hear his call. And then I'll share with you what I believe to be accurate from his depiction of real historical events and what some of the stories are. It's a good one. So Jesse in Wisconsin.
Hello, guys. My name is Jesse from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I've just recently started listening to your show, and I love it. Right now, I'm actually put it on pause because I'm driving home from work from a long day. So I have a story to tell you guys. It's not really one story in particular. It's actually a chain of events that me and my friends have witnessed. When we went to, I guess, adventure this Ramada Inn in the small town of Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. We usually go around trying to find the best stories we can on the internet, and what we like to try to do is go and visit those places and see what we can pick up. This one particular one, like I said, was at the Ramada Inn in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. And the ghost we were trying to, I guess, the main ghost we went there to try to explore and see if we can contact, his name was Walter. And he stayed on the fourth floor. I can't remember the room number. I think it was room 411. It was me and four other friends, so it was five of us. And we actually got the front hotel clerk to believe that we were from the college in the area, the Marion University in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. We got him to believe that we were doing a study, or not a study, but a documentary on the hauntings of the hotel. And they believed us, so they gave us a discount in the room, and all five of us stayed in this room. So right when we got up to the room, I like to add, right when we got off the elevator, as soon as we get out of the elevator, me and my brother, we're the ones who usually have, I guess, a soft spot for this type of thing. And right away, we feel lightheaded. Right after we get off the elevator, we both feel lightheaded at the same time. We enter this room. We had about five cameras. We had night vision. We had voice recorders to capture any EVPs we might have heard. Now, right when we got in the room, one of our buddies, he sat by the window, which was right next to a closet in the corner of the room, is where Walter is said to hang himself. I guess what the story is, one of the reasons he hung himself is because that was one of Al Capone's spots. The gangster from all over the Midwest. That was one of his spots, and Walter was a wanted man, so I guess he decided to hang himself in that room. So we stayed in that room, and before we went to, I guess, adventure, all the other ghosts, as you could say, all the ghosts that they had in this hotel, we decided to charge all of our cameras. Like I said, we have five. And as we're charging all of our cameras, we're all, you know, having a normal conversation. And then, it was dark. We didn't turn the lights on in the room. So the only lights were the lights coming from the charging ports and the charging ports for the camera. And, one of my buddies says, he's the one sitting in the chair next, where Walter hung himself. He said, guys, I don't really feel good. And then he's like, I actually feel kind of sad, which was weird. So my brother picked up the night vision goggles we had, and he looked at them. And he came to realize that our friend, he was crying. He was crying in the corner. He said he felt really sad. He didn't know why. It just came upon him all of a sudden. And, he was crying. He didn't sound like it, but tears were rolling down his face. He just said he felt really sad, and we thought it was weird. So we sat in the room waiting for the cameras to charge for about a good half an hour, 45 minutes. And the first thing we were going to do, we was going to go down to the ballroom where this newlywed couple was set to hang themselves in the middle of the ballroom. So as we're walking down the back stairwell of this hotel, mind you, all of our chargers were fully, all of our cameras were fully charged, and we made sure that before we left, we're walking down this stairwell down to where the ballroom was. And simultaneously, everybody's camera, each camera we had, they all died. They all died in the same exact moment. It was like a chain reaction. Someone mentioned theirs was dying, and then another one of our people from our group mentioned theirs was dying. Eventually, all of them did die, which was very weird. I mean, we felt like something was in the hall at the stairwell with us as well. And, it you know, it just adds up to the reason our cameras were dying. And so we get to this ballroom, and it's actually locked. So we go to the hotel clerk, and we tell them we're trying to investigate the ballroom because there is said to be a newlywed couple that died in there, and he confirmed that it was an actual thing that happened there. And so we each took a different – he unlocked the door, went in the ballroom, and we kind of split up. It's a big room, so we each, I guess, took a table. There was about 30 tables in this ballroom, and we each sat in our own little spot. My brother was in the very back of it. I sat kind of towards the front entrance, and we had other people and on the west and east walls. And my brother, I hear him, you know, he's over there, and he's like, holy, he says real loud, holy shit. And I'm like, well, what happened? He's like, dude, come over here. So, like, I get up, I walk over there, you know, I'm walking slowly. And as I walked underneath where this couple was said to hang themselves, as I walked underneath from where this supposedly happened, I just felt this big, again, it felt like someone dumped ice water on me. You know, that's how cold I got. Not literally water, but I got so cold where, you know, if you take a shower and the water turns cold, you have to take that very deep breath like you're in shock. And that's how it was. And I can actually see my breath as I'm breathing. And I'm walking over to him, and I feel nothing but fear at this point, you know, because I'm scared. But I feel this very, very, very cold chill. And I get to him, and he's like, dude, I just heard someone. He told me he just heard someone try to talk to him, but he couldn't make out what they said. And so we're sitting there, we're kind of listening for this voice to appear again. And we didn't hear it. But in the southeast corner of this ballroom is a kitchen. So as we're listening for this voice to say whatever they said, or we're trying to contact this voice that he heard, we hear dishes clanging in the ballroom. And we jumped up, we went over to see what it was, shined our flashlights, and nothing was there. Nothing that we could see, at least. But we can feel present that we were being watched. We can feel something with us, so it wasn't just us. And we were in the ballroom for about a good 2 hours. We experienced a couple of things, but those things that I told you were the most significant things that we've experienced. So, you know, we got a little tired. We decided to go back to our room to take a nap. Like I said, there was five of us, and there was only one queen-size bed. So my brother and my buddy that was crying in the corner, they ended up laying on the floor. And three others of us tried to get some sleep on the bed. Well, I was on the edge of the bed, and it was so crowded that the only way for me to be comfortable is to let, you know, my arm hang off the bed. Everybody eventually falls asleep, except me. I can't sleep because, you know, I can't sleep anywhere where it's not my house. It's hard for me to fall asleep. But as I'm trying to go to sleep, I feel someone brush against my arm, like their fingertips rub my arm. And, you know, I pull my arm back real fast. You know, I thought maybe it was someone messing with me on the floor. And mind you, they were at the foot of my bed, not next to the bed. They're at the foot of the bed. So for them to rub my arm and for me to look and see if anybody was there, there's no way they could have made it back to where they were in time without me seeing them. So, you know, I know I was just touched by something and it freaked me out. And, you know, so I just tried to go back to sleep. And as I'm trying to go to sleep, I hear my brother. He goes, "What was that?" He says to my friend, "What was that?" He's talking to himself, actually. He says, "What was that?" Like, he saw something. And my other buddy on the floor, he's like, "You saw that too?" And mind you, we all think each other's sleeping. I guess I wasn't the only one that couldn't sleep. And he's like, "You saw that too?" He's like, "Yeah." He's like, "Yeah, I saw that." And you know, I get up. I'm like, "What'd you guys see?" He said, "Dude, I swear to God, an orb just flew over our head." And an orb just flew over our head. And because I was, you know, touched on the arm while I was trying to sleep, I don't usually get scared, but I had this huge feeling of fear. You know, I was so scared, like, something was standing behind me. If I would have turned around, I would have saw something. And I was so scared, I actually just left and I went home. I lived a couple blocks from the hotel at the time. I lived in Fond du Lac during this time for about a 4-year period. So, you know, I was so terrified, I just went home. I didn't want any part of it. And, you know, it was crazy. It was a good night to remember for us. So, I just figured I'd call in, have a long drive home, and let you guys know a little bit of my story. I have plenty more stories, but that's for another day. So I hope you guys liked it. I hope to hear it on your show soon. I'm a big fan, a new fan. I've been listening at work for the past 3 days in a row. I'm at like episode 20-25 already. I just started listening to you guys 2 days ago. So, yeah, I guess you would call me an avid listener now. So, all right, I just figured I'd call in and tell you guys a little about my story. Hope you liked it and hope to hear it on your show soon. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Thank you for calling in and sharing your experience with us. I thought it was a really interesting story.
I thought so, too. And we've both been in that building.
Mm-hmm. We actually had your Mother's Day brunch there this year.
Father's Day.
Father's Day. Yeah. Was it Father's Day?
It was Father's Day.
Yeah, it was Father's Day. Right.
And, you know, I didn't get that many weird vibes from it.
No?
So, no, it makes me wonder sometimes if my spooky sense is off.
I don't know. I mean, I've always felt very comfortable in that hotel. I've always liked exploring it. It's very old. It was built turn of the century. It still has a lot of the original woodworking in it. There's a hall that you go to as you're walking towards the ballroom. And the ballroom itself, it feels like you're walking down like the hallway of the Titanic,
mm-hmm.
as far as the ornateness of the wood carvings and everything. And it's a really neat, neat place. I wanted to address some of the things you talked about in the story. Now, it's not to discount the haunting at all, because there's a lot of people who have paranormal things that happen to them in this hotel. The thing that should be cleared up, though, about those hauntings is what it's being attributed to.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of urban legends about this hotel or stories that are passed down, and I'm not surprised that a lot of the staff don't know it either. There was a lot of high school kids that worked there back in my day when I was a high school kid.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, things get passed down, facts aren't really checked, and it just kind of gets told over and over and over. So anyway, he talked about a couple things in his story, about Al Capone being wanted. It was part of his route, and that Walter was a wanted man. Okay, ding, true. Al Capone, it was part of his route.
Okay.
I don't know if it can be confirmed that he ever stayed there or not, but it was part of his route. It was part of Dillinger's route. It was part of several routes mm-hmm. of Chicago gangsters that go up to northern Wisconsin. This was right on their route. There's several bars in the area that have famous stories of them going to them. Like, literally right across the street was Dillinger's bar. And they actually named it Dillinger's for quite a few years in the 80s and 90s. So, big gangster route.
Okay.
As far as Walter being a wanted man, he was not. He was a hotel proprietor, had several hotels of similar looks, mm-hmm. if you will. They're scattered throughout the state. Milwaukee has one. Wausau has one. Fond du Lac has one. There's a couple others. I couldn't tell you exactly where they are. But when you see them, they are all very similar in style. and including on the inside, and I lived kitty corner to one when I was in Wausau, that was turned into an apartment building, but all the ornate wood was still in there, not painted either, and just kind of abandoned, and it was creepy, and I'd go in there with my camera and turn the flash on and take all these really creepy, creepy, creepy photos of like the ballrooms that were just falling into disrepair, and it was really neat. Anyhow, he was not a wanted man, nor did he die in the hotel. That was the other thing. It was, oh, he died in the hotel and da-da-da-da-da. He did not die in the hotel. As far as history knows, he lived to be old and died, I believe, in Milwaukee, just at his home of natural causes.
And Walter's last name was Schroeder.
Schroeder. So Walter Schroeder is who we're talking about. Yep.
It's easy to check. And it's also said that he haunts the aquatic center there in Milwaukee, the Walter Schroeder Aquatic Center.
And also, too, if you really look into it, almost all of his properties have a Walter haunting story attached to them.
He must just travel the circuit.
It could be.
Yeah.
Or it could be something else. I mean, this is a very old hotel. A lot of things have happened here.
Mm-hmm.
Couple hanging themselves in the ballroom, to my knowledge, also not true.
I could not figure out why a newlywed couple would hang themselves together.
That was a new one. I'd never heard that one before. That was a story I did not hear when I was growing up. And I've actually, back when I was doing the wedding DJ circuit, you know, all them years ago, I've DJed many weddings in that very ballroom. It's a very beautiful ballroom. There really would, I don't believe, any way to hang yourself in there. And I don't believe there's any truth to that part.
Sure.
Great urban legend, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be the creepiest ballroom. I mean, because it's very beautiful and chandeliers and ornate. And then you walk in there, there's a couple hanging from the ceiling. Creepy as hell.
Well, and Jesse had asked a hotel staff member about that who tried to tell him it was true.
Of course.
And so,
because he's probably 17.
So poor Jesse, as far as he knew, it was true.
It's not. I just wanted to, and I believe they experienced all these things. I believe they saw the orb. I believe the orb. I believe they had these feelings.
Mm-hmm.
That all adds up because a lot of people have these things happen to them. The staff have a lot of stories of paranormal things, especially happening down in the basement in the laundry area, of things starting up on their own. But as far as the creepy stories that are connected to it.
Yeah.
Not so much real.
Okay.
But if you want to go to a hotel that's very likely haunted, that would be one of them.
Okay.
And it is creepy. Retlaw, which is the name of the hotel. Walter in reverse.
Anytime something's named another word in reverse, that's just weird.
It's very, very odd.
There was a Girl Scout camp close to where I used to live, and it was called Camp Sikuwak.
Uh-huh.
Any idea what that is?
What is it?
Sikuwak.
I know. You told me before. Cookies?
Cookies backwards.
Cookies backwards.
That's kind of cute.
Creepy cookies.
Still kind of weird. Yeah.
There should never be anything creepy associated with Girl Scouts.
No, there shouldn't.
That's just something where the two worlds should not combine.
No.
At any point in time. Other than you guys sitting around a campfire telling stories.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it. So there you go. Interesting story. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing your adventures when you were living in Fond du Lac. I grew up there, and there's a lot of creepiness in that town. So lots of fun stuff. Would love to hear more of your stories and your adventures. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to another caller. Let's see here. How about as soon as I get this processed quickly so we can play it back. So I believe Hope in Minnesota. Let's go over there. Hi, you are on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hi, this is Hope from St. Paul again. I had trouble calling this in earlier, but or a few days ago, but it appears to be working now. I don't know. But I am currently in Spring Park, actually, at my job. I'm on break. And I thought I'd share a few stories of the nursing home I work in. Obviously, nursing home, lots of people die here. And we have these older elevators. I mean, the building desperately needs to be updated. We have these older elevators that will occasionally open for no reason. No one called them. No one pushed any buttons. They didn't just come up to the floor. But they will just open. And a lot of times, if you're standing near them, there will be this really cold draft. This especially happens within the first few days or week after residents, especially long-time residents, have passed away. Also in the basement, I've had many experiences of residents that, like, I can tell it's them, where I will see them or hear them or just feel their presence. I myself am fairly sensitive. I've dealt with several spirits outside of work as well as here, many, many more here at work. But there's also specific things that will happen. Doors will open and close on empty rooms. Sometimes we will have an empty room where a call light will go off and nobody's in there, but it'll be a room where a resident recently passed away. And it'll be at, like, a time that they would usually call. Also, we used to have a resident who would wheel through the halls on her wheelchair, and often she would pinch her butt as she went past. Well, she passed away, and I was working on that floor on that side near her room. At one point, this happened, oh gosh, probably two and a half years ago. And all of a sudden, I feel the pinch on my butt. And I whirl around. It had only been a couple of days since she had passed. And I whirl around because I'm just like, oh my gosh, not this again. You know, stop doing that, stop pinching my butt. And then I realize I'm the only one in the hall. And she passed away. So I feel like that was her way of saying, hey, I'm still here to bug you. I'm a nursing assistant and trained medication aide. When I pick up hours of the trained medication aide, especially on second floor, I normally work third floor. Used to have a resident who would go around and he would literally... I don't think he ever slept for more than 15, 20 minutes at a time, and then he'd be up walking around again. And what would happen is he would get close to our carts, our med carts, where we keep the medications and everything, and he would get frustrated because it was in his way, and he would lock the brakes. He'd kick at the wheel and lock the brakes. Well, not long after he passed away, I was working down there, and... no one else had been in the hall near me. I had just moved the cart, so the wheels were not locked at this point. I just moved the cart in front of an area, and no one else was around, no other residents, no other staff. I had just moved the cart not 5 minutes before. And I set up a medication. I give it. I've got the cart in view at all times. I only go down the hall about 15, 20 feet. To administer the medication to the resident. And when I get back, the wheel of the cart is locked. I found this out when I tried to move it. I also, especially, I work overnight shift. It's like 2:30 right now when I'm calling. And also, oftentimes when sitting in a darkened room, I will see shadows of people moving in wheelchairs when I know for a fact that there is no resident up at this time, or sounds nearby, especially when I'm looking in the reflections of windows or mirrors. So it gets very creepy at night, and the basement is the worst, so I don't like to take my breaks down there. But yeah, anywho, I love the show. I just became an extra podcast person a couple days ago and am working through that, plus trying to catch up. Still about a year and a half behind on the YouTube and recently subscribed on iTunes. Anyway, keep up the good work. I love, 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 love the show. Listen to it pretty much 24/7 on the way to work, at work, on my way home, while I'm falling asleep. It gives for some pretty crazy dreams sometimes, but yeah. Anywho, keep up the great work, and I hope you use my story. Anyway, bye.
Thank you for calling in your experiences with us. Thanks for being an EPP. I wonder what we sound like in dreams. You know, when you absorb so much one thing a lot, you end up dreaming about it.
Sure.
Like I do that with television shows, did that with, you know, work years ago and at the radio station. And then you just start, you know, hearing it in your mind. So I wonder what the dream Tony and Jenny sound like when she's imagining that she's listening to our show, what those shows are like.
I bet our tone sounds pretty much the same. We're just saying random dream type crap, you know, like stuff you would have heard in Twin Peaks and shit like that, you know?
And now the thing is, I say so much random shit as it is.
Yeah.
On the real show, I can only imagine how random it is, you know, on
In the dream show. Yeah.
Interesting story. If I was her and I was on break and I had an opportunity to go to a real creepy place, I'd be all about it. But I don't blame her.
Yeah. I wouldn't do it.
I just, you know, that's how I am, though.
Yeah.
I to a certain extent. I'd probably do it a couple times and then never again.
I think it's hilarious that the residents are still ornery after they pass away, like locking the wheel carts and pinching butts.
That seems fun. I think I would probably be doing similar things.
Yeah.
If I was dead and being able to mess with people.
I think so.
I mean, at least it's not cantankerous.
No.
Cantankerous would be they're feeling bad. It sounds like they're getting some enjoyment out of doing these things.
I think so.
So, a very interesting story. Thank you for calling that in. 855-853-4802 is your number. Belle in Virginia. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Belle from Norfolk, Virginia again. First off, I want to say I love your show, and I want to say how awesome it is to be an EPP. I heard you play my almost finished story a couple weeks ago, and it's just I had to after that. And just the stories are so great. You definitely, oh, it's so awesome. But anyway, I wanted to continue to pick up on my story that I left off with when me and my girlfriend were messing around with the Ouija board and ended up letting the planchette go free and letting a demon into the vicinity of both of our houses. After the incidents that happened at the old place, April got transferred to another duty stationed overseas. I got out, and me and my husband moved into a friend's house. Well, at this point, things between my husband and I were becoming very abusive. I was obviously not getting treated the way I should have been. So as I was slowly deteriorating at my friend's house, trying to do the best I could, I was noticing some very strange things happening. For the longest time, I was thinking the demon just happened to follow me from the other house. So I would always take some sage, bless the house, or some dragon's blood. I don't know if anyone else does that, but I continue to bless the house. One day, my husband came home from work, and the door unlocked for him. He poked his head open. Hello? Upstairs, did you unlock the door for me and just run upstairs? Been up here the whole time. Well, as time proceeds, we obviously move out and we move into a new house. Things are great. I'm finally in a good neighborhood. I'm thinking maybe me and my husband can finally start to fix up this relationship. Maybe this is the second chance I was looking for. Well, as time goes on, I ended up collecting a lot more bunnies than what I already had, and eventually got up to 7, which is the whole reason why I moved into the house, because they seemed to be very therapeutic for me, and it kind of a rescue them. So as time goes on, I'm noticing just this awkward feeling at like 2 in the morning. I would always fall asleep on the couch, wake up, sweep up the floor real quick, and go to bed. Well, just this sliding glass window that opened to the back pane of the backyard where I would let my bunnies run around, I would just feel like something was watching me. My hair would just be on the tip standing up straight. So I would do my best to ignore it. Until one day, I thought, you know what, I'm just going to go see a psychic and see what she has to say. Well, I go up to a psychic. I have a 30-minute session with her just to get a good vibe for everything of the sorts. She does not hint that there is anything on my property, but she tells me one of my oldest rabbits, one of the white ones, needed to be close to me, and close to me immediately. She just feels like she's too far away, and she needs to have that extra safety. Well, it being before Easter and also 420, because I was already out, being so abused in a nasty relationship, I figured, screw it, let's light up, watch some South Park, and fall asleep on the couch. The bunnies can stay out for a night. And as I was smoking and getting the knot off on the couch, just it kept running over my head what this lady said to me about my rabbit, but I shrugged it off as nothing and fell asleep. The following morning, I woke up to see my bunny Pearl, her body lying out in the backyard and her being completely decapitated, letting out a blood-curdling scream. Surprised it did not startle all of my neighbors. My ex-husband runs out back and just starts assessing the situation. I run around to check the rest of the bunnies. They're okay, but they're terrified. And I am just losing it because I just keep blaming myself. I'm the reason that she died. I did not listen to her. And just it kept running over and over in my head. It's my fault. It's my fault. Well, just later, a couple days later after that incident on Easter, I remember after my daddy coming over and helping me give her a proper funeral, that feeling happened again. This, just that sense of having someone out on the back porch watching me. But out of the corner of my eye, instead of just feeling on end hairs, I actually got a somewhat good look at this silhouette. It was a 6 foot tall man in a long trench coat, wearing boots, I don't know what type of pants, but I could just see. He wasn't startled, but it was almost like he was looking in at me like a television show. And just on the bottom form of the deck, I saw the outline of my bunny Pearl, the one who passed away. And I shake it off. I'm thinking, I must be high. This has to be a dream. I go back. I come back later. And it's, I still see this outline. I don't see the man anymore, but I see my rabbit. And it's just, I haven't told anyone about this because I thought it's so much easier to believe a demon than it is seeing your rabbit pass away. And me still being in the guilt trip, it just made me think that maybe it's just, I'm so sad, I'm seeing things. Well, as time continues to go by, I still see the man at the back door and my bunny Pearl occasionally until I eventually moved out because my ex-husband moved his ex-girlfriend in while I was overseas, came back, and she was in there, so obviously it was me. Time for me to at least part ways. Ever since I moved out, I have not seen any entities, any ghosts, nothing, which is very surreal, but at the same time, since I'm starting out my life, I've become a much stronger, healthier, independent woman, and I know my daddy's very proud of me, and I'm very proud of myself. It just makes me wonder, maybe because I was in that weakened state, that that's why I was being followed and haunted, because I remember hearing people on the show saying that if your body is weak, your mind is weak, and it's easier for entities to follow you. So the more I listen, the more I learn, and I really want to thank you guys for your show because it makes me feel a lot less crazy and a lot less alone, and I also want to see what your guys' take on it is, especially with the psychic and maybe the bunnies too. I know Jenny has a thing for animals, so I figured she'd like this story. Well, I hope to hear from you guys soon, and keep up the good work. Love the show. And yeah, good night, guys.
What's your take on the bunnies?
Well, I think the psychic foresaw that something bad was going to happen to the rabbit. Mm-hmm. Rabbit. Sorry. I can't say rabbit. Anyway.
Rabbit.
Rabbit. But as far as seeing the bunny dead, I mean, the ghost of it, yes. I think anything that you love like that, you know, that you show a lot of affection, there's going to be a connection. That's why we see pets come back, and this is a pet. It's just not a dog or a cat like we normally talk about.
And why we don't see haunted Colonel Sanders.
Yes, that's right.
I'm surprised. Is there stories of the Colonel, though, being haunting any place? The Colonel himself?
Oh, I don't know. I want to hear about it if there is.
Other than Norm MacDonald and whoever the other one was, Daryl Hammond.
Uh-huh.
Both of which play pretty good Colonels.
Yeah.
Creepy Colonels.
I think my favorite thing I've ever seen Norm MacDonald do is the Colonel Sanders commercial.
Yeah, it was a great little career move right there.
But back to the story, I know at the end she mentioned about weakness, mm-hmm, and haunting, and I want to not really correct her, but I want to rephrase that.
Okay.
If your mind's not in a good place, you're not necessarily weak, but if you've been through trauma or if you're experiencing something dark, it's not weakness, but depression and anxiety can be triggers for,
sure,
for these things. But I wouldn't necessarily lump that into weakness.
I agree. I completely agree.
I know that there are a lot of different theories about that and about it being a weakness, mm-hmm. but I have to say there's too many people that are brilliant minded that suffer from these things that to say it's a weakness.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
Okay.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Let's go to M in Missouri.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. I'm going to go by M. I live in Independence, Missouri, which is a suburb of Kansas City, Missouri, which I feel is kind of relevant to this story and maybe other stories I can tell. my kids, I have four kids, and I are all sensitive. I wouldn't say extraordinarily so, but if there is something to be felt, we definitely notice. And the story is about one of my girls. I have twin daughters, and one of them, when she was younger, had some emotional problems in school. We would get notes home from the teacher that she was upset. She was crying that day. I would talk to her. She never really had an explanation. So fast forward maybe 3 years. We had moved. I was going through a divorce. My kids and I were on our own. And my girls and I had gone out to dinner and come home. And the house just felt kind of spooky. It was a townhouse. It wasn't particularly old. The area that we live in, the land is old. There have definitely been wars, civil war battles took place there, et cetera, et cetera. And it was just an odd feeling. So my girls asked if they could sleep with me. I said, of course. And we all went to bed. We had all just fallen asleep, and we heard this loud thing, almost like the sound of a bag of potatoes falling in the middle of our living room floor. And I know we were connected to other people because it was a townhouse, but you could tell the difference between a noise coming from the side of us and coming from inside the house. So I got up. Told the girls to stay in bed, went downstairs to check it out, and I saw nothing. I went back upstairs to bed, laid back down with the girls, got them to calm down, go back to sleep. About 45 minutes later, I was still awake. I heard my son walk in the front door. He had just gotten off work, and I heard him start walking up our stairs to my room, which was unusual. He would normally have just gone downstairs and crashed out. And as his foot hit the top step to my room, my car alarm outside went off. And I jumped out of bed, grabbed my key fob. I tried to set the alarm off. It wouldn't go off. I had to actually run outside to the car, put my key in the ignition. Turned the key, finally the alarm went off. My son and I were both kind of out of breath. We didn't want to wake up the neighbors. We felt bad about all the noise. And I said, what made you come upstairs? That's weird. He was like, I don't know. I just had this feeling when I got home that you guys were not here, that this house was completely devoid of feeling, I guess, you know. The next day, I called my girlfriend, who is a sensitive as well, much more so than myself, probably more so than my kids even. She and I were talking, having a conversation. I told her I felt like my family was under some sort of spiritual attack. And she and a girlfriend were kind of conferring over this, and her girlfriend said, tell your daughter to ask about Graham. Graham is a name that I called my great-grandmother. Not everybody knew that. Not everybody calls their grandmother Graham. So that she said that exact phrase was weird to me. I pulled one of my daughters aside, the one that had had emotional problems when she was younger in class, sent the other one upstairs so I could talk to the first one, and she broke down. She said that she had the ability to hear people, that it was very frustrating for her because she had never seen anyone, that at times the people who were speaking to her wouldn't go away, that it was especially hard when she was in school because they would talk to her throughout the day and she could not reply because other people, you know, would hear her and she would feel crazy. And she said in particular, as of late, that she had been hearing from my gram. She did tell me some things about my grandmother, just little things about who she was, her personality, things my daughter couldn't know because my grandmother had passed away maybe 10 years before my girls were born. And that's it. That's the story. Thank you. I appreciate you guys. I have never felt crazy, but I do love knowing that there are other like-minded people out there, and I do plan on becoming an EPP as soon as possible. Bye-bye.
I don't know how long ago this story took place, but I need to ask, because I think it's really unusual for a set of twins, one to have a gift and the other one to not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering how long ago that took place, because the other twin that's not as sensitive may not have discovered that yet.
Sure. It's like about being tied into it and being aware.
Yes.
And like a lot of it's being comfortable with it, too.
Right.
I think sometimes it can be something where if discovered in childhood, it can be essentially blocked out at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Or if discovered in childhood and intrigued by it, can be strengthened.
Yeah.
And that's an individual thing.
It is.
I would imagine both have it.
Sure. I would think so. I just think maybe, you know, one of them just has not yet found that out.
Yeah.
Or hasn't had the opportunity to find that out yet.
And hone in on how to use it.
Yeah.
Very interesting story.
I think so.
Thank you for calling that in. 855-853-4802 is our number. Another caller, Lola. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Lola from Los Angeles. Normally I write my stories because I'm a writer and I don't want to miss any details. But I just listened to your episode about how older generations didn't really redecorate their homes very often like younger generations do, and how you were wondering if ghosts would have opinions about that. Well, this is just a short story. This is not something I experienced, but it's something that my mother told to me, and I think it's kind of relevant. Apparently there was a young couple in their neighborhood growing up. This was in Salt Lake. It was a neighborhood where a lot of couples moved into these pre-built homes in the 50s and started families. And even when I was a young girl, a lot of these couples still lived in these homes full of very 1950s Leave It to Beaver furniture. So this young couple, his grandmother passes away. And her home, according to him, had always been decorated the way it was decorated since she moved in. She'd taken great care of it, but the bookshelves had always been where the bookshelves were. The couch had always been in the same position. So this home, they want to keep it in the family. They let this young couple move in. They decide, well, this young newlywed couple needs a place to stay. He was always very close to his grandmother. We'll let them have the home. So they inherit this fully furnished home. They move in. And they decide that now that it's theirs and they're, you know, the younger generation, they want to redecorate. And so they start by moving the furniture around. They move in, they take possession of the home, and they spend a whole day bonding, deciding where things are going to go, moving the couches and the beds and the dining room furniture around. And then after they've set the whole house up to their liking, they go out for dinner or to visit family. They left the house for a short period of time. And when they came home and unlocked the front door, all the furniture was back the way the grandmother had it set up. And no one had been in the home. There were no drag marks on the carpet. No one had been there. The amount of time was not long enough for someone to have snuck in as a prank. It was back exactly the way she wanted it. And from what I understand, as long as they lived in that house, They never tried to move it again. So that's the story. It's very short. I hope you liked it. I have more, and I hope to share them with you soon. Enjoy your day.
I love haunted furniture.
That would drive me crazy. I couldn't change my furniture because I like to move my furniture around periodically anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
It's more fun when the dead get involved.
I wonder if they just tried asking Grandma if they can move the furniture. She's dead? Hey, Grandma, you're dead. Can I move your furniture?
You know, maybe that honestly, as simple as that sounds, sometimes that can be the answer to some of these things of just getting permission mm-hmm. or just stating, hey, at least asking, going through the motion of it.
Yeah.
Or asking something to stop what they're doing. If it is Grandma, Grandma may just oblige. Or Grandma could be cantankerous and hateful and probably not.
Well, if Grandma's going to do stuff around the house, have Grandma make cookies.
Exactly.
Yes.
If you're going to be dead and still doing stuff, here, do this, please.
There you go.
I don't know how Grandma would respond to that. You probably should be respectful of your Grandma.
Yes.
I have my little my jar of lemon drops over there. I thought when I put it in there it would smell like lemon drops. It smells like my grandma's house still.
Oh, really?
I don't know why or how, but you can open it up and you can take a whiff into the past.
Oh, gosh.
You can. Because she always had that very jar on her counter of lemon drops, and I would get a lemon drop when I was a kid there.
Sure.
And she's since passed years ago. But I got that when they were kind of cleaning up the house, and I let Harp come in. She always wants to get a lemon drop. And it's funny because every time I take one out and give her a lemon drop, you'd think that this container of sugar and corn syrup and lemon would end up smelling like corn syrup and lemon and sugar.
No,
it still smells like that house in Winnebago Drive in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin.
That's funny.
It's really weird.
That's really weird.
It's kind of neat. So there you go. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you got a real ghost story, please share it with us. 855-853-4802. Please support our show. Keep us on the air. Become an EPP, an extra podcast person. It's only $5 a month, less than the cost of a cup of coffee. You get all the bonus episodes, and you keep our show on the air. Please consider doing that if you'd like this thing to continue on into the future. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.